Hello and welcome to Up to Date from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto. Time to get caught up with what's happening in our region and beyond. Today, the White House is touting a $50 billion program for rural health care. But how much of that money will Pennsylvania see? And I've got a fresh set of reading recommendations for you in the latest bookmarks. It's Tuesday, September 16th. Let's get you up to date. First, we have a story from Lancaster County. Seven Lancaster County Mennonites are out of jail after protesting in the U.S. Capitol over the war in Gaza. As Jordan Wilkie reports for WVIA, the Pennsylvanians joined over 100 protesters from Virginia and neighboring states.
Religious protest group Mennonite Action is calling for an end to what they say is the killing and forced starvation of the people of Gaza. The group also calls for humanitarian aid to be immediately allowed into Gaza and for the U.S. to stop selling weapons to Israel. Ben Rush, from Lancaster City, was arrested in the D.C. protest alongside 60 other Mennonites practicing civil disobedience.
Because I'm committed to my faith and because it is such an important part of my life, I feel like I have to speak out against atrocities.
Rush and the others are charged with misdemeanor obstructing for sitting and singing hymns inside the congressional building, where protest is not allowed. The charge comes with up to 90 days in jail, $500 in fines, or both.
That was Jordan Wilkie reporting. And speaking of the U.S. Capitol, the White House is touting a new $50 billion program to aid rural health care. It's included in the Republican Party's tax and jobs law passed in July. But as Jackson White reports for WVIA, it's unclear how much Pennsylvania stands to gain from the program.
Former GOP Senate nominee Mehmet Oz serves as the administrator of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. He is overseeing the new rural health program. Oz is urging states to apply before the November 5th deadline to enhance preventative care, sustainable access to hospitals, workforce development, new care models, and technology innovation. Once the applications close, half of the $50 billion will be divided equally among all the states that applied for it. State populations won't be considered. For the other half, Oz has sole discretion over where the funds will go. Governor Josh Shapiro's office did not respond when asked whether the Commonwealth would seek funding from the program. In Harrisburg, I'm Jackson White.
Stay with us. There's more Up to Date after this break.
WVIA News is working hard to be your source for local, state, and national stories that shape your world. We're your connection to stories that truly matter, and we report to you. Find us at WVIA.org.
Welcome back. Now it's time once again for me to add a few books to your to-be-read pile. It's the latest edition of Bookmarks. The summer is over. And for students returning to school, that usually means it's time to prove they did their summer reading. Reading a book that's been assigned to you can go one of two ways. Either you'll love to hate whatever the book is, or you'll be introduced to a story that you'll never forget. For this week's edition, we asked you for the second type of book, the kind of book, classic or unexpected, that you may not have picked up on your own, but that you still think of to this day.
I'm Brian Ferguson Avery from Williamsport, Pennsylvania. I'm an author and a tax preparer. I'm reviewing Rebecca by Daphne du Maurier. In my first semester as a college professor, my department had assigned Rebecca to all composition classes. This was my introduction to Daphne du Maurier's 1938 novel, a book that remains unputdownable to this day. The story is narrated by a shy, young, mousy woman, we never get her name, who meets Maximilian de Winter on the French Riviera. Maxim has recently lost his wife due to a boating accident, and at first he seems pleased to offer marriage to the narrator. She assumes her presence is meant to pull Maxim out of his grief. But when they return to the de Winter's ancestral estate in southwest England, Rebecca's memory hovers everywhere as a kind of ghost. The servants remained devoted to their ladyship's prior demands, especially the creepy Mrs. Danvers, who reminds our narrator that she will never meet the standards of the elegant and bewitching Rebecca. Maxim, too, can't seem to forget his dead wife as he silently stares out the windows at the sea. To say, not all is as it seems, does not give too much away. If you haven't read the novel, don't spoil it by first watching the Netflix production or the Hitchcock film. If you are familiar with the plot, rereading the book can be even more rewarding as you watch how well Du Maurier builds suspense and hints at what is going to happen. It's not over until the last page.
Hi, my name is Patrick Abdallah, and I teach English to 7th and 8th graders and juniors and seniors. I have loved Daniel Keyes' Flowers for Algernon since I first read it as a sophomore at Bishop Hannon High School. The book is told through the eyes of Charlie Gordon, a man with intellectual disabilities who undergoes an experimental surgery and hopes it will make him smart. Readers follow his progress reports. As a kid, I enjoyed how they started out full of misspellings, bad punctuation, and grammatical blunders. Now I teach it to students who are often considered advanced, particularly in the sciences. I enjoy watching how they notice his progress when Charlie simply starts putting periods in the right places. It's not an easy book because it deals with questions about how we treat people with different abilities, the unintended consequences of our actions, and how we deal with science. It's always interesting to see how students interact with the characters and their decisions. I hope that 20 years from now, they still reflect on its lessons.
I'm Roger Dupuy from the WVIA News team, and my summer reading pick for this feature is The Color Purple, the Pulitzer Prize-winning 1982 novel by Alice Walker. It was on my honors high school English class summer reading list way back in the late 1980s. Walker's masterpiece follows the life story of Celie, a young black girl growing up in segregated rural Georgia during the early 1900s. It offers an unflinching portrait of abuse, sexism, and racism, but also the decades-long bonds formed between strong women as sisters, wives, mothers, mistresses, rivals, and lovers. Running through the tale are thought-provoking questions about God, faith, love, and self-esteem. I was already a fan of the 1985 movie adaptation, which my mother introduced us to, and so Walker's book beckoned to me among the roster of much more predictable coming-of-age tales and classic literary sagas on the reading list. Some may find it surprising to learn that a Catholic high school of 35 years ago would assign this book to teens, given that it included graphic depictions of domestic violence, rape, and homosexuality. I can only say that our teachers, including nuns, took a broad view on the spectrum of human experience and the American story, and they wanted us to do the same. This was in suburban Rochester, New York, for those who might be wondering. The Color Purple has been a frequent target of book banners, but it also has been made into two feature films and a musical, which speaks to its enduring popularity. It is a sweeping epic that takes the main characters on a journey spanning roughly from the turn of the century to World War II, and crossing continents in the process. Celie is a hero in every sense of the word. You will cry with her, grieve with her, and if you have a heart, you will be cheering for her as the wrongs done to Celie are righted in amazing ways that make this book a gripping page-turner.
Hi, my name is Renee, and I'm from Berwick, Pennsylvania. Flowers for Algernon by Daniel Keyes was one of my favorite books I read in school because it was one of the first books I was assigned to read in class that really captivated my attention, and I felt I couldn't put it down. The story follows a roller coaster of complex emotions and situations that happen to the main character, Charlie, and how he comes to terms with some of those things with the help of a small mouse named Algernon. As someone who has always loved animals, and as an adult who works with them now, Flowers for Algernon always sat close to my heart as a story that shows that even in the darkest moments with humanity, an animal companion can be the very thing to bring you back a sense of your own personhood and growth.
Hi everyone, Sarah Cinto here with my recommendation for this week. I often wonder how much the books we loved in school shape our tastes as adults. I know Coraline has influenced mine a great deal. Neil Gaiman's iconic middle-grade novella follows Coraline Jones after she and her parents move into an old house divided into apartments. The apartments are full of eccentric characters, but Coraline is thoroughly bored with life in the house. That is, until she discovers a small door that leads to an other world, full of other versions of her neighbors and family, all with buttons for eyes. The other world is run by Coraline's seemingly sweet other mother, who lavishes Coraline with delicious food and fun adventures. But when she offers to let the young girl stay if she accepts buttons for her own eyes, Coraline starts to see the horror hidden behind the other world's sparkling facade. I read this in middle school, and I remember choosing it out of a handful of books that we had to present a group report on. My group ended up performing a puppet show of the climactic confrontation between Coraline and the other mother, which featured a truly terrifying hand puppet sewn by my mom. I'm fairly certain the twisted world of Coraline led me to be drawn to mysteries and crooked tales for the rest of my life, and I'm very grateful to my middle school teacher for offering it as an option. That's all for this edition of Bookmarks. Join us again on September 27th. I'll be looking for books that put you in the autumnal mood. Want to talk about a book you loved? Email me at sarahcinto@wvia.org with bookmarks in the subject line. Okay, I hope you're feeling up to date and ready for the day. Find more stories at wvia.org. And if you want even more local news, sign up for the WVIA News Notes newsletter as well. I'm Sarah Cinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to keep up with the news team, make sure you subscribe and listen every weekday, wherever you find your favorite podcasts. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.